all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here, guys, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. It is Tuesday, April 1st, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're coming at you from our Groundworks Downtown studio on this Tuesday. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line open if you're listening live tonight at 960-960. Be curious your thoughts on our topic du jour, or in this case, topic du segment. I don't even know if segment is a...
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good.
I'll have that.
I'll have that. Well played.
Yes.
Guys, Vicks, I got to tip my hat to Dan Vladar. Because that's another quality start on Monday night. The Flames do not scalp 2 points out of Colorado without Dan Vladar's, I think, borderline first star performance against the Avalanche. I think of a few of the saves he made in the second period, the save he made on Devon Taves early in the third period to keep it 1-2 and keep a Flames team that was outmatched. Let's be perfectly honest. I mean, through 40 minutes of play, there was one team that was good and there was the other team that was playing, right? But Dan Vladar, much like Dallas, kind of just came.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
The Stars just threw some sticks on the ice and decided to go play shinny, and the Flames were the team that was playing, and the Stars somehow won. Well, the Flames kind of had the tables turned, and they got the 2 points on a night where they were second best for a good chunk. That's what happens over the course of a year. That doesn't belie the how important that comeback was, or how important them getting the 2 points was. Of course it is. But they know that they were not where they need to be in that game against Colorado and need to be much better against Utah on Tuesday. But Dan Vladar was, in my eyes, the primary reason. And that's taken nothing away from Lomberg and Klapka and the gents. Taken nothing away from what those guys did. But Dan Vladar was great and is now 5-1-1 in his last 7 starts. In those 7 starts, he has a .925 save percentage dating back to early February. And what Vladar has done since the beginning of February, in my eyes, has opened up the conversation about what his future looks like in a Flames jersey. And in my eyes, or the way that I see it, I've done a complete 180 on what I think the Flames should do with number 80 going forward. Now, I want to be on record. I don't think they are in a playoff fight, if not for Vladar. That's what, 11 of a possible 14 points in his last 7 starts. They're not in a playoff spot if Vladar doesn't do what he does. Not just the results, but also how he spelled off Dustin Wolf, which I think has been important. And I've come around on signing Vladar back, as he will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. And for a good chunk of the first half of the season into the second half of the year, Vixie, for a good chunk of it, and you can go back and listen, I'll fully cop to it. Like, I've done the 180. I would have said, no, you know what? I don't think you should trade him at the deadline, unless you can get something, you know, that clearly makes it worth your while. But I would have said in October, November, December, January, going into the Four Nations break, you know, at the end of the year, shake Dan's hand, say thanks for the service, and either go find somebody else or look to Devin Cooley. But opinions can change.
Yeah.
And guys can swing your opinion, and he has. And here's the reason why I think this is a far more viable conversation for me, anyway, in my opinion. I mean, the tandem continues to work. Vladar has held up his end of the bargain at the most important time of the year in second halves of back-to-backs and against tough opposition and all that type of stuff. Cooley's really dropped off since the injury, since All-Star break, which also plays into it. I think you know, you probably are looking at a goalie like Cooley. Maybe his numbers a little inflated in the early stages. Maybe not quite as good as the numbers suggested in the first half of his season. He's probably not been as bad as the numbers would suggest in the second half of the season. I've been told that by a couple people who would know. If I'm in Craig Conroy's shoes and I was the one making the decision, I would be looking to re-sign Dan Vladar, and I would. And I think that is probably, from an organizational standpoint, from a Flames-only standpoint, we'll get to Dan's side of it in just a second, but from a Flames standpoint, I firmly believe here on April 1st that re-signing Vladar is the way to go as this team's kind of second part of the tandem going forward.
Well, it seems, and this is from the outside looking in, and we're not in the room watching these guys interact, but it seems like a really strong marriage between Wolf and Vladar and how they get along and how they support each other. And that is job number one. That is non-negotiable from either standpoint, where you need your tandem to, don't necessarily need to be best friends and you know, hang out 24/7 outside of the rink, but you need them to be able to function well together. And from the outside looking in, Wolf and Vladar is exactly that. And I am curious because the splits are very interesting. And you brought up the start that includes his final start prior to the Four Nations break. But from the start of the season until that Four Nations break, .888 save percentage for Dan Vladar. Not ideal. And that's why we saw things move from a more tandem, more platoon situation to Dustin Wolf carrying a lot of the starts from, you know, late November, early December onward. But now that we get past the Four Nations break and suddenly Dan Vladar is playing at a .918 save percentage and really has been able to spell off Wolf and give him some much needed time off. Not only is he giving quality starts, but he's letting your de facto number one, your future franchise goalie, time to be able to rest up so he can play closer to 100% as well. The other element I do wonder in those splits is, we know Dan Vladar came into camp. I feel great. He's coming off hip surgery. Everything's hunky-dory. But I do wonder how much it took for him to adjust, to adapt, to not feeling pain. Yeah. To not feeling pain.
Kevin Woodley told us going into the season, I remember talking to him in September, our goalie guru who joins us on Thursdays, he said, yeah, it's probably going to take some time for him to get his... That's a really good point, Vix. I didn't even think about the hip surgery and the recovery and getting your comfort level back.
Well, and I remember talking to Dan about it, and he's like, yeah, it takes some time to be able to trust your hips again because you're so... This wasn't something that just happened in game 60 last season. And, okay, well, we're going to take you out of the lineup. We're going to get you hip surgery so that your timeline aligns with next season. This is something that has been bothering him for years. Mm-hmm. So when you've been going down into a butterfly for years and you feel pain, it's not immediate that you come out of surgery and you go down into a butterfly and you, oh, okay, no pain. I 100% trust my body again. It takes time in order to readjust, relearn. And so I wonder how much of his resurgent post Four Nations is, one, just getting a mental reset, but two, that progression from, okay, I'm okay now. I can do this. I can move laterally the way that I want to, pain-free. Like, there's an adjustment period to be had there. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that, oh, we're in the clear now, and because of this 7 or 8 game sample size at a .925 save percentage, that Dan Vladar is suddenly going to be an elite goalie in the NHL. But the splits are very significant, and the fact that these two goalies seem to work so well as a tandem together from a Flames standpoint. Mm-hmm. And you got to layer in Cooley as well, because as you mentioned, he was on fire the first half of the season, got hurt. His past 17 games, he's got an .868 save percentage. He's on a one-way next season, but that doesn't necessarily dictate what you're going to do with your goalie tandem next year. I do wonder, though, all things considered, from a Flames standpoint, you go to Dan and you say, hey, this is going to work out for us. Is it going to work out for you? And have a conversation about whether there's potential for him to be a member of the Calgary Flames after the season.
Yeah. I mean, and again, price has to be right. Has to make sense for your cap. I think, and you know, just based on some conversations, I think the Flames would be comfortable at a cap hit around what he's at right now. So if you could get Vladar to sign back for 2 more years at between 2 and 2.5. He's at 2.2 right now. Obviously, you've got a Dustin Wolf contract conversation to have as he's eligible for an extension starting July 1st. But if you're the Flames and you want to re-sign Vladar, I think anywhere between 2 and 2.5 on your AAV makes sense on a 2 or a maybe 3 year deal at most. I could see that really working out. And I think that that keeps your goaltending cap situation good. Even if when you do give Wolf the big bump that he'll deserve, whether you go bridge with Wolf or whether you're able to convince him to go long-term, that's a completely separate conversation. But on the Vladar front, if you can, if he's okay being at around the same cap hit, because I don't know if his play has warranted a significant raise.
Right.
You take a look at the numbers on this contract.
The sample size isn't there.
I don't know if he's got a ton of leverage. Dan Milstein's his representative. I don't know if Milstein and the Vladar camp have the type of leverage to say, well, we need to double our salary, double the AAV. And with the cap going up, you might be able to get a slight bump. That's why I say like 2.5. Could you do something like that over a 2 year deal? 2 times 2.5 makes sense to me. But here is the biggest wrinkle when it comes to Dan Vladar. What does he want? And that, because if Dan Vladar were to agree to return to the Flames and he signed the contract that we're talking about, he would be, I don't think there's any doubt, he would be signing to be the understudy.
Yeah.
He would be signing going into next year. I don't think it's going to be an open competition. This is Dustin Wolf's team long term. And unless Dustin proves that shouldn't be the case, I don't think that's going to change. And I think over the next 2 seasons or so, it's safe to say that the ideal would be, all things being equal, everybody being healthy, that Wolf gets 60 to 65% of the starts. Is Dan Vladar okay with being 40 or 35% of the workload? Is he okay with clearly being number 2 on the depth chart? And if the answer to that question is yes, and he just likes being a part of this team, like he has said so many times, to the extent that he's fine with that, then I am fully on board with them going down the extension road. But if Dan is more interested or there is some sort of desire, which I would fully understand, to see if there are other landing spots outside of Calgary that might afford him more playing time, then you can't begrudge him for that.
Right.
And so that's why I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk that this is just going to get done, because Vladar does play into it to some extent as well.
If I'm trying to put myself in Dan Vladar's shoes, I would want to find a situation where I would be able to potentially earn more playing time. He's 27 years old now, be 28 by the time next season rolls around. The runway for trying to be a 1A or a 1B or a starter is starting to evaporate. I just don't necessarily know where that option might be for him. It's probably a better question for Kevin Woodley on Thursday. But if I'm the player, my desire is going to lie in trying to get as much ice time as I want. We hear it all the time, whether it's from Ryan Huska, whether it's from players. Everybody wants more ice time. Nobody's ever gone to a head coach and said, I want to play less. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Calgary Flames hope that they have their starting goalie for the next decade. Where does that leave Dan Vladar?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that leave me if I'm that goaltender? It leaves me playing 30 games a year, 32 games a year, somewhere in that 60% range. If I believe that I'm better than that, I'm going to want to try and find an opportunity where I can prove I'm better than that.
Yeah, because I think really important in this is, like, what is the ideal workload for Wolf going forward? Is it 50 to 55 games?
I think so.
Me too. And so that's 27 to 32 starts for Dan Vladar. And that's a great, like, if you're a goalie and you want to play in the NHL, for a lot of people, that's great work. But also, these guys get to this level because of their competitive juices.
Exactly.
These guys get to this level because of their drive to want to be better. These guys get to this level because they want to be in the premier spots. And so I don't think anybody could begrudge Dan if he were to say, yeah, you know, that's awesome, thank you, I'll think about it, or that's, I'm glad that we have that, but like, I also do want to see what my options are out there. Is there a team elsewhere that might be willing to give me a little bit more in terms of playing time?
Now, what's tricky with that too is this season, he's played 29 games. That's his NHL career high. in his four full seasons in the NHL, he's been north of 895 once. So one, you're going to need a team that's lacking in depth and goal. Two, has an open competition for 1A, 1B if they're going to platoon it or just any sort of general opportunity. But three, then look at Vladar. Scrap the numbers because there's so much more than just numbers to look at, especially the save percentage that we have available at NHL.com. Like Clearsight will have so much more. So I don't know if that helps or hurts Vladar, but you've got to find a situation where a team really believes that you can be a 40 to 50 game guy as well. So where would that be? It's kind of the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. You go out to free agency hoping to find something and it's not there. That's the gamble. Assuming they know, there could always be the situation where the Flames will circle back afterwards, hypothetically speaking, of course. But where would be the landing spot? And I don't have the answer to this. Where would be the landing spot that affords him the opportunity that he's looking for based on the sample size that he's presented?
Yeah. And that's very fair. And I know that that's the, well, where's that going to be? I don't know. But I don't think it's like, what does Carolina look like next year between the pipes?
There's going to be so much goalie movement that happens as it does every year. So you kind of got to weigh the comfort.
What does Columbus look like? What
you got to weigh the comfort, basically, versus the potential opportunity.
You know, I'm like, what does Detroit look like?
Well, they'll have 19 goalies. You know that.
It's true. But like, yeah, you know, Talbot's on a one. So
they've got Casa as well, though, coming up. I don't know if he's necessarily NHL ready, but he's probably the guy that a year from now you hope has that. But again, you can look at.
But if you're Vladar and they decide not to come back with Talbot, well, maybe there's a landing spot. Okay, maybe I could get 40 starts in Detroit as opposed to 27 in Calgary or more.
If you're Dan Vladar, let me ask you this, because this would be another wrinkle too. Would you take a 1 year prove it contract over a 2 year Flames contract where you're kind of guaranteed to be that 30 gamer?
I can't speak for him. No, I don't know
what
the
Pat Steinberg
is?
Do as a goaltender. And that's the trick. That's the one of the things you've got away as well, because you're going to have a lot of self belief. You're going to have a lot of self confidence.
What would I do as a goaltender? I would change positions in career.
Touche.
But
well
like
played.
I look at the Eastern Conference: Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. Like you can look at a lot of these different spots and be like, yeah, he might be able to get more playing time there than elsewhere. So that's why I say maybe that is the priority, and maybe you do have to take a 1 year deal. You get less security, but you've got more of an upside. And so, yeah, that's why I don't think it's a slam dunk, but I also think that there will be a desire for the Flames to see if they can re-up for another year or two. And I do think Vladar and his camp will consider it, but not knowing what they see as the biggest priority or most important. I don't think it's a guarantee that, you know, he will or will not be back next year. I just think from a Flame standpoint where I am, I've changed my tune on it.
Yeah.
I was very much like of the don't trade him, but, you know, maybe go in different directions at the end of the year. Now I'm kind of like, you know what? Give the guy a ton of credit. And then you just swayed me even more with the hip surgery side of things that I did not even consider. Yeah. I think the Flames would be interested in seeing if there's a re-up there as well.
I think from a Flame standpoint, if you get him at $2 million for 2 years, two per, that's almost an automatic, because you look sort of what you have in the organization. I don't think there's somebody that's ready to support Wolf in the role that Vladar does over the course of those 2 years.
And I don't know if you'll get the same money on the open market. Like it might be one times one and a half.
I keep
on
looking
the open
at Charlie
market.
Lind. This is a different scenario. This would probably equate better to if he signed with the Flames, but Charlie Lindgren got 3 years, $9 million.
And so Lindgren's numbers are significantly better.
He was 13-10-13 with a 2.7 goals against and an 898 save percentage with one shutout in 27 games this season. That does not add up. That is an error on NHL.com.
Well, but yeah, but he signed last year, right?
He signed in season this year after they signed Logan Thompson.
Last year he went 25-16-7 with a 911. This year he's 16-12-3 with a 900.
Yeah, so better numbers, that's probably what affords you the extra half mil in the extra year.
Let's get to the text line at 960-960. This says, Pat, I think re-signing Vladar for a year or two is the best course of action for the Flames this summer when it comes to the backup spot. With Cooley's play falling off at the Wranglers, it's tough to trust him as Wolf's backup next season. Vladar's recent performances have been promising. And beyond that, his relationship with the organization is invaluable. He clearly loves the city, the fans, and the team. He's got a great personality and carries himself with class. I do think his ceiling is a solid 1B, and that's not a bad thing. I'd love to see Vladar back next year. He represents the Flaming Sea the right way and fully embraces being part of the team. Do you agree? Yeah, I do. And I yep. think that there's something to be said there about bringing him back. This says Edmonton will sign Vladar. We'll see. This reads, Vladar, I've always liked him and wanted him to succeed, but he's been statistically mediocre for years despite his recent good streak. Let's see what Cooley is. I feel Vladar has 895 over 100 games, and that's what he is. This from Dale. Would Vladar consider going 1 year at $3 million as a show me where he thinks he could steal starts next year and is comfortable with the team in front of him? The Flames have the cap space. I don't know if that would be the best thing for Vladar or not. But I don't know where his head is at right now when it comes to what he prioritizes or looks at as important on his next deal. Corey says if Vladar would take 3 or 4 years, 3 for 3. Okay, let's try that again. If Vladar would take $3 million for three or four years, I say take that all day long. I wouldn't want any trade restrictions, but if you want to be competitive, you need a good second goalie. I think back to all the goalies since Kiprusoff, and I think the quality goalies are hard to come by. Conroy wants competitive culture, and worrying about the netminder while you have so much more to build on seems counterintuitive. He fits this group. If he wants to stay, I'd keep him. I think 3 might be a little steep, especially seeing as how Lindgren is at 3 and has significantly better career numbers. Like, you still have to use your leverage to get the cap hit down. So I think more like between 2 and 2.5 makes sense for Vladar if you're going to be keeping him.
Well, and you can't even use the excuse of, well, the cap's going up because Lindgren's contract was literally last month. So it's not as if the market has reset on that. Be curious to know what those numbers are, though.
Dean says, guys, I suspect Vladar's agent has an unofficial deal done with another NHL team. I say this because an announcement would have been made already of his signing, and Conroy's actively pursuing other young goaltenders. He signed Owen Say out of college, but that's not a next year move.
That's not a backup to Dustin Wolf move.
So I don't think that things are set in stone about whether he's back or not at all. And finally, I would take the opportunity that gives me the best opportunity to succeed. I think trying to set himself up for a 5-year contract is more important than playing time. He needs some good numbers. I don't think that Vladar is the type of guy that's ever going to get a 5-year contract. You know,
there's no track record for a 5-year deal.
If you're a career 1B guy, you probably are going to be signing a lot of 1 and 2 year deals. And that's kind of what I see Vladar as, is kind of like that 1B tandem guy as his high end. And that's okay. And if he's cool with being kind of a clear 1B or 2 here in Calgary, then all day, every day, sign him. And if he's not, then...
You wish him the best of luck.
You wish him the best, absolutely.
There'd be no hard feelings there.
Nor should there be. It's Steinberg and Vickers along with you this hour on Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you this hour from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And as this Tuesday rolls on, Pat Steinberg with you, and it's... time to say hello to our Pacific Division insider, usually on Wednesdays, but this week we'll chat with Jonathan Davis on Tuesday. JD from NHL Network and VSiN Sports, he joins us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hello, JD.
You know, Pat, you texted me earlier today saying, do you want to come on? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, what day is it today? Like, I just don't even know anymore.
Well, here's the thing. Sarah Valli usually comes on Tuesday. He said, well, can we switch to Wednesday? Can't do the normal times on Tuesday. I said, I can check. So I fired you a message and said, hey, no pressure, but if you want to come on Tuesday, would you be willing to switch? And you being the accommodating, generous fella you are, you said yes.
So what you're telling me is that Sarah Valli owes me big time.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay. I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
Let's dive in, man, because there's a lot to look at in this Pacific Division right now. So as we're sitting here talking on Tuesday, April 1st, LA has 91 points, sitting second in the Pacific Division. And they've got a two-point edge on Edmonton with 89 points. The Oilers just got Leon Draisaitl back. They're, you know, getting closer to Connor McDavid coming back. And there's a two-point gap. Each team has nine games remaining this season. So how do you see this fight for second in the Pacific playing out here in the final nine games of the season?
All right, you know, I'm sorry. A lot to dissect. Ovechkin just scored. I don't know if you're watching.
Okay, four away.
So now, yeah, four away. Okay, so your question, and I was paying attention. I'm very good at multitasking here. You know, I just get the overall feeling from the way Edmonton is, you know, has approached things and not wanting to rush Connor or Leon back. You know, they got, obviously you guys saw what happened with Leon on, you know, on the weekend. I don't think it matters to them, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think that they're so concerned if they have to start home or road. Now, I mean, look, the way LA is played at home and the way compared to way that, you know, that they played on the road, it's almost two different teams. So, I mean, I would think you'd want home ice advantage, but, you know, I've said to you before, Pat, and I haven't done the deep dive yet into the playoffs, but I mean, generally it's not much more than I think 55-45, you know, overall for home ice advantage. And it may even favor the road team over some of the years. So I don't think I'm not sure how much of a big deal it really is, but look, just watching the way Edmonton has handled things, I don't think they care.
No, and I think that's probably fair, JD. The one thing that I would wonder a little bit about is whether or not, like, it is maybe a little bit more important on the LA side of things. Like, do the Kings view the idea of getting home ice because they have the NHL's number one home record at 27-4-4? Do the Kings view having home ice maybe a little bit more important than the Oilers do?
Oh, I think that would be absolutely correct. And you know, and I don't understand, you know, why, you know, this is their year where they just stink on the road. Like, I don't understand why, you know, why Darcy Kemper's, you know, his record is worse. His goals against is about a goal higher on the road. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily team. If it's a group effort, that's why they're so bad, but there's definitely they are very comfortable at home, and it has shown. But overall, you know, Pat, like, I just think, like, come playoff time, like, whatever, you know, I think some of that advantage goes away. Just, and we've talked about this numerous times, you don't have a scheduling advantage anymore come playoff time. You're all on the same schedule. So I think that takes away some of the advantage. What does probably come into play a little more is that last change. And I've never been a big proponent of it, but making it's a big deal. I know, you know, watching the game Saturday night with LA and Toronto, I mean, there was a concerted effort to match up Matthew or Kopitar against Matthews. And, you know, so I don't know, pick your poison on where they're going to want to match Kopitar come playoff time. And look, and Andre hasn't had a great playoff the last couple of years, but the one difference this year, potentially for Kopitar, is they've truly managed his minutes, Pat. Mm-hmm. And like, Joel Edmondson's playing more than Andre Kopitar is on a given night. I mean, if you had told me that before the season, I would have like said that, you know, whatever you're smoking, you better stop because you're saying a lot of stupid things. You know, it just like that, you know, they are doing a really good job of managing his ice time. I think ultimately, though, you know, for LA, home or road, like, Quinton Byfield has to be a big factor for this team in the playoffs. Kevin Fiala has to be a big factor. You know, Adrian Kempe has been there in past playoffs, not concerned about him, but they really need Byfield and Fiala to continue, you know, at least Fiala to continue his goal scoring prowess. Now, the one thing I will say with Fiala is that he is not a guy that creates his own opportunities.
Right.
I mean, he has got to find the open holes. That's just not the way he plays. And, you know, that's like the, and I don't know, like I had someone just say to me, you know, look, he's the highest paid forward on the team. Like he shouldn't, you know, he should be able to do a little more on his own, but that's just not his game. And it's not his fault that the Kings, you know, gave him $7.5 million or whatever, 7.8.
Yeah, exactly. It's similar to the Huberto conversation here in Calgary over the last number of years. And Adrian Kempe really has turned into this. You can just count on this guy for 30 goals a year at this stage. He's the one guy offensively that you know what to expect night in, night out on this Kings team, isn't he?
100%. And really the defensive side of his game too, Pat, is very impressive. He's become a complete player over the last couple of years. You know, look, he kills penalties. He's not – like, he and Kopitar are not guys that are killing penalties and dropping their body in front of the puck, but they're so well positioned. They're a threat – you know, he's a threat to score shorthanded. This is a guy that has – I think has – understood his place on this team and really I think his I think that for a while he wasn't he lacked the confidence because I think he wasn't sure where he fit on the pecking order, but he's more than found his way in Los Angeles the last couple of years.
Last thought when talking about the Oilers and the Kings and this fight for the second spot in the Pacific Division. Where are we, JD, on Leon Draisaitl and his Hart Trophy bid? How much of a chance in your eyes does number 29 in Edmonton have of winning the Hart this year with the incredible season he's having?
I mean, what you guys, you know, saw on Saturday night, like, it just told you everything. I mean, he has carried this team on his back when Connor's been out. It's very much like when, you know, when Sid's out and Gino, you know, is the guy. And when Gino's out, Sid's, you know, has no problem taking over. But there's, for me, I think that he has done everything in his power to put himself as the winner of the Hart Trophy. Connor Hellebuyck to me has got his own trophy. He's got the Vezina. You can't argue with what Hellebuyck has done. It's remarkable. I just, for me, the impact that Leon has had on this team, and you know, look, that when you look at that lineup that they put up against you, or the Flames on Saturday, I mean, it's you know, what was it? It was him, Podkolzin, and Arvidsson with the top line on Saturday night. Yep. Yeah, I mean, like that's you know, like I. For me, like, as a person who, you know, likes to wager, you know, I bet Leon just for his shots on, you know, to have at least 4 shots on goal that night because you know that he's got to be the guy. Like, he is going to be the one that is going to be shooting all night because, you know, Arvidsson is a, you know, the other guys both are, look, legit scorers, but I think Leon really felt the weight of the world and you saw him, you know, that's the tying goal was just one where he was just not going to be denied.
Yep. We're chatting with Jonathan Davis. He is our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. As you put it, when you sent off the topics, JD, those Vegas Golden Knights, they have been in first place all year, and they just keep on lurking around, don't they?
They do. And look, the best thing that's happened to Vegas for Vegas this year is what's going on with both Washington and Winnipeg. I mean, and no one's really paying attention to them. I mean, not like they have in years past. And here they are on the verge of their third 100-point season in franchise history. You've got Jack Eichel that becomes the first 90-point player in Golden Knights history. You know, there was concern when they let Marchessault go, where's that offense going to come from? Well, I mean, they've, you know, Pavel Dorofeev front and center, but, you know, other guys in this roster, you know, like a Brett Howden, I mean, Olsen, you know, has been hot and cold, but, you know, got off to a really good start and is still in double digits in goals. So, you know, and then when one guy goes down, I mean, they're just so deep, you know, they bring back Theodore, they sit down Petrangelo, you know, they Hurdle goes down, but Dorofeev, you know, is the guy. They went through a stretch recently on that road trip, Pat, were they in four of their six games culminating on that road trip, they had one player that at least had two goals in a game. So someone is stepping up. You know, they had a couple of hat tricks. You had Hurdle had two hat tricks, I think it was. Dorofeev had a hat trick. It's a very deep roster, to say the least.
And they're probably they're almost certainly going to take on that number one wild card team. So one of Minnesota or St. Louis is likely who they're going to be facing in round number one. Very curious to see what that first round matchup looks like for Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think right now the way St. Louis is playing, no reward for having to play to play a wild card team in round one, and then. You know, Minnesota's going to, likely will have Eriksson Ek and Kaprizov back, and that changes the look. But, I mean, right now, I mean, I would much rather face the Minnesota Wild. I think Vegas has had far greater success against Minnesota over the years than they have the St. Louis Blues. They had some really high-scoring, entertaining games with the Blues, but that's no reward right now for finishing, first in your division.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're chatting with Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider. He joins us on Tuesday this week, usually Wednesdays here on Flames Talk. You mentioned Minnesota, you mentioned St. Louis. We know here in Calgary, the Flames are trying to chase down one of those two teams when it comes to making the playoffs. And you know, the math is not super pretty from a Flames standpoint, and the math is even less favorable for the Vancouver Canucks, who seem to be kind of the fourth team in this mix. If you were to rank them, whether it's St. Louis or Minnesota one, they're the two teams that have the best chance of getting in, then Calgary, and the math is really against Vancouver right now.
It is. And, if they keep pushing, but as well as they're playing, and for me, I don't know if you caught that game Friday night against Columbus, but that felt like, 70s Oilers hockey or whatever you want to call it. That was one hell of a game that night, with the five in the third and three goals in the final 3 minutes. But, here they squandered a 3-0 and 4-1 lead that night. They come out of it with at least 1 point, but that's a missed opportunity and to come away with two, and you can't afford for them not to come away with two when you've got the Blues that just don't seem to lose. And I mean, for St. Louis to go into Colorado on Saturday afternoon and come away with a 2-1 win that night or that afternoon, that was a impressive win, but it's not helping the cause for Vancouver. And I just think they're, the runway is getting very short.
And it's certainly if they do end up missing, which I think is more likely than not at this point, it's going to be really interesting to see what Rutherford and Alvin decide to do in the offseason. Like, do they decide to keep Elias Pettersson, or is that a guy that they look to move on from, knowing how frustrating this year has been from him? And they're better. Even the results show this year, they're better with EP40 in than without him. But he also hasn't been the $11 million player that you would need him to be in a tooth and nail playoff fight like this. It's going to be some real, some big time existential questions in Vancouver this summer.
No, without a doubt. Now, a couple of things just with Pettersson. One, it's going to be hard to trade him. You're going to get 70 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
And that's not good right now with the Canadian dollar.
What? Shush.
So that's a tough one. What happens with Besser? What happens with the coach? I saw Elliot Friedman's column today on sportsnet.ca, saying that, look, the Canucks will exercise the option. But what does Tocchet want to do? And even if they do exercise it, and if he's going to want to leave, he's going to want to leave. Here's the thing that I find surprising. And again, the analytics for the betting world, when Pettersson and Hoglander went down, the total on Canucks games went down by about half a goal to a goal. And many of us in the community were like wondering why. It's not like they were scoring anyways. Like, their offense hasn't dipped with Pettersson out because he wasn't doing anything. So, you're seeing what Vancouver has done, and everything revolves around the captain. And it's if he was not injured, he would be one of the guys in the MVP conversation. It's It's just been a phenomenal year. One thing I do want to circle back to with the Kings, Pat, is, you know, this is a team that, you know, scored 7 against Boston, 7 against Carolina, 8 in their last game against San Jose. But in between, we're held to a 1 goal in 2 games. And that is just what this season has been all about. Like, I still don't know who this team is, and we're 75 games in. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, 7, you know, look, it's Boston and San Jose. They torched 2 teams that, you know, Boston, I mean, my God, did you, like, Boston's top D pair for tonight's game was Zadorov and Yoki Haru. I mean, that tells you the state of where the Bruins are at. But that's why I still don't know who LA is 75 games in. You know, they're also the team that won 5 or lost 5 in a row and then reeled off 5 straight wins. So it's just, now, if they reel off 5 straight wins at the right time, that will likely get them out of the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, it will, as they get set to take on Edmonton. Just a last thought. The Flames get Anaheim on Thursday here here in Calgary and at the Scotiabank Saddledome. This Ducks team is not finishing their year without a fight, are they?
They're playing hard. And I get the sense, you know, I remember sitting in the press box in Anaheim. I think it was right around U.S. Thanksgiving game against Montreal. And I was talking with some people and they're like, yeah, you know, we were talking about Greg Cronin. And the thought of him coming back was, you know, 50-50, probably close to 50-50. It definitely wasn't 60-40 or anything. But I get the sense from talking to people in the last week or two that there's been an adjustment to the way that Cronin has been dealing with his players. And he's gone from maybe, you know, the Mike Keenan style to more of a softer side. And the players have responded. And you just... you know, that game against the Rangers a couple of nights ago, they're down 4-2 late. And, you know, they come back and win it in overtime. And, you know, it was just, that's kind of where this team is at there. They haven't given up. And I think that the message that has come from the coach over the last month or so has changed. And we're seeing, you know, Mason McTavish was struggling early on, starting to pick up his game. Cutter Gauthier is starting to become more of the player that many had thought he would be. In his first year in Anaheim, you know, Leo Carlson, well, I mean, I think the experience of him being at the Four Nations, you know, helped what was already a good start to the season, but this guy's on a tear right now. So yeah, it's very encouraging what we're seeing in Anaheim. And look, this was Pat Verbeek's hire. And I think the thought that he would not be back, I'm more confident that he will be back. And I like, now, look, I've always liked the direction of where this team is at and the roster. But, yeah, you know, they're not going to make it easy for Calgary. And, look, they're 2 teams that make you work for a victory. So, you know, that'll be a fun one for you guys. Well, if you come out with a victory. But it'll be an entertaining hockey game. Let's put it that way.
Good stuff as always, JD. We will do it again next week. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good night.
You too, pal. Jonathan Davis from NHL Network and VSiN Sports joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Thanks to Cam Hughes and Shan Vergie, our outstanding producers this hour as well. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.